Hey everyone, this is Made for Music. I am your host, Duncan Byerjohn. I grew up in the greater Seattle area and have lived in the Pacific Northwest my whole life. There is a wonderful, vibrant music scene up here with an incredibly welcoming community. Growing up, music was my ultimate passion, but I didn't know how to get started. So this podcast will explore the Northwest music scene, how to navigate it, the resources available to you, and most importantly, the stories behind the people making things happen. This is Made for Music. Welcome to Made for Music. I am your host, Duncan Byerjohn. Today's friend of the podcast is a producer, singer-songwriter, and is gearing up to release his upcoming EP, Waiting for Heaven. Outside of his own tunes, he does audio and video editing for some local tech firms. The All My Friends podcast, which is created and hosted by Episode 3's guest, Evan Johnson, and is producing the EP of yours truly. So please welcome the Ableton guru, one of my closest collaborators and good friends, the king of whack email subject lines, Aaron Karstensen.
Holy damn, dude. I'm so honored right now.
I also should have said Imperidol.
Oh yeah, no,
I that's said Aaron totally, Karstensen, but that's you too.
No, that's totally so fine.
It's okay. The title will be Imperidol, and then they'll get thrown off because they'll be like, Aaron Karstensen, who's that? And then, oh, it's Imperidol.
Oh,
I'm gonna blame them on this gnarly cold I have and say that's why I screwed it up.
No, it's okay. You sound extra.
Extra. Extra gritty.
Yeah, that's what I was going for, dude.
Well, now that we're on the topic of how you're Aaron Karstensen and Imperidol, do you want to give me a background on where you got that name from?
Yeah, I'll hit you with some info because I think I get a lot of things or people saying, what's Imperidol? You know, like, I think that's probably the main thing I get, which is fair. But actually, so what the name is the drug suffix for antipsychotic drugs is Paridol.
Oh.
So like, Haloperidol, that's a antipsychotic drug they use for psychotic people.
Like us.
Like us. So I was like, oh, like I'll just make up my own prefix basically. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like, I like the meaning. Every time I explain the meaning, I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. That's a cool name. But I always feel like people don't get the meaning off the bat. They're just like, it's a mouthful and it kind of Imperidol. It doesn't flow well. So this is me talking up my arts. But yeah, so that's where the name come from.
That's sweet though.
Yeah, I'm sticking to it.
Yeah, well, and it goes really well, I think, with your music and like your lyrics. Like
mental, just kind of not so shiny.
Mm-hmm. See? Dealing with not so shiny.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying.
No, yeah, I think that's cool. And that's why I'm super excited for this EP that you've got coming out. Because A, it just sounds dope, which is, I guess, a benefit of you being a producer and a songwriter. But the stuff you like delve into and talk about, like the subject matter itself, is like really deep that I know I connect with. And I know when I write and show it to you, a lot of the stuff that we kind of click on is dealing with more of like anxiety and stuff like that.
Yeah, no, I definitely like, I've always, once I started putting lyrics into my music, because I started with like straight up EDM, that's where like my production started and sound design and all that stuff, but I was like, what do I listen to? I listen to really dark stuff. Like, I like that, if they say some stuff, mostly, if an artist says something in their song that makes other people go, what the fuck? That's usually the stuff that I'm like, ooh, I like that. You know what I'm saying? Like that's, or that perfectly sums up the way I feel. So once I started writing, it was like, how can I put that kind of, like, what would I listen to? Mm-hmm. And so when that, like the kind of yelling, the hard singing, like in Waiting for Heaven, the chorus is pretty like yelly. That along with the subject matter is just like me kind of like putting down the, what I feel, which isn't always matching. I think people would be surprised because my personality is pretty different. Like meeting people, I'm, hey man, how you doing? You know what I'm saying? Like that's kind of, it's different, but
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's funny because I've like told people that like, so when we had like our Thanksgiving thing, I know that I was I had talked to people about the music and specifically like talking to Kay about like the music that we do and kind of explaining. She's like, wow, it's kind of dark. Like, geez. And then you got there before I did.
Yeah.
And she sent me a text. She's like, oh my gosh, he's so nice. Like, I think because I had just been talking through the lens of the music we were making, she was kind of like,
you're like, Aaron sounds fucking scary, dude.
Yeah.
He like blasts Slipknot and stuff like that. Like, I'm glad. Yeah.
That's which is so a good funny. Thing. But that's the thing that I think a lot of people don't realize is even if we're like talking about like mental illness and like you look at like Chester Bennington and what a lot of people said is he was the cheeriest dude. He was so nice. And it's like, that's how it is. Yeah. It's like, just because I'm friendly or, you know, smiling and laughing and joking doesn't mean like I feel good all the time.
That's the biggest thing is like, especially with that, I know it's a touchy subject, the whole like suicide and everything, but it's like people that they always say that they're always like, he was so happy. I'm like, that is not an accurate representation of his feelings inside or how he is alone. And the fact like, it's a shame that people couldn't see what's really going on but that's the other thing. It's that's the hard part. Like, you have to ask for help.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause if you keep putting on like this, a facade, you know, like I did that in high school. I guess I still kind of, I'm not super down anymore, but like in high school, I think my sophomore year where I was like, okay, I can't take this anymore. And I was like, mom, I need to go to the doctor.
Yeah.
'Cause it was like, it just hurt too bad. Right. But sometimes that doesn't happen. And that's when, you know, it gets bad. So yeah.
No, it's awesome that you're able to like open up like that. 'Cause it is a lot of it too, is the reason people are acting so cheery is they're trying to be like, well, if I show people I feel like this, then they'll be freaked out or whatever. Yeah. It's the same thing with music. I remember when I first started like writing and some of my stuff was darker, people were like, what?
Yeah.
But it's like you said, when I heard those kinds of darker lyrics, I was like, that's how I connect with that.
Yeah.
And so it's also tough though to like let down your guard and write something.
Yeah, for sure.
That's like that.
It's funny. I think there's like, I like scary movies, like fucked up scary movies. And I like, dark music, all that stuff. And, my friend Rich, like he's very healthy mentally. I guess he's just a normal dude, but so he's always like, dude, maybe you shouldn't watch those. Like, he's kind of conservative in ways, but he's always like, dude, I don't think you should watch those movies. Or like, isn't that song kind of like scary, you know? And I'm like, people think it affects me negatively, or like when I listen or watch to this stuff, it's not bringing me down. It's like cathartic.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Where
totally.
Like, I don't watch a scary movie and go, oh yeah, like I'm so freaked out. Yeah. You know, I'll be like, wow, like, it'll speak to that like darkness and I don't know. And then the darkness is like, okay, cool. You know, and right, then it can relax. I don't know. Like, and it's not like even the lyrics that come to me are usually dark. And that's where I started writing, is I wouldn't write about anything. I just write what came to my mind. And it, just because it's dark doesn't mean I'm super angry inside and sad. Like I used to be, but I think it's just a leftover thing. And that's what's real to me. Like, I couldn't write, if I wrote about like, ooh girl, that would sound cheesy. 'Cause that's like, that wouldn't be real for me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And you can tell, like, I have some homies, you know, Sam Holmes.
Oh yeah. I know who he is, but we never like hung out or anything.
So Loomis, that's his artist name, but he writes more like love song kind of stuff and it's genuine to him. So it never sounds cheesy.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what, you know, you just kind of got to like do what feels real to you. So
for sure. I think people can hear that, like you said, because it's genuine from him. You don't go like, man, you don't believe that.
Yeah.
But I'm the same way. Like if I wrote, like, you know, when you write a song and someone connects, it's like getting it out.
Yeah.
And it's like an outlet and then people are freaked out by your song and it's like, well, it's not like. Don't be scared. It's like you probably felt this way at some point, but it's just because you don't feel it all the time. I mean, that's why there's so many genres of music too.
Exactly.
Like,
no, that's fair.
That's why like I don't get country.
Me neither.
And I might get backlash for like saying that. I listen to it, I'm just like, I try and I'm much better about it. I'm a lot more open-minded now.
Yeah.
But for the longest time when I would listen to it, they're talking about like dirt roads and drinking in the truck. Yeah, I'm like, I don't want a truck. I don't like trucks.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I know it goes way deeper than that. So apologies, country fans.
No, I feel it.
But yeah, I would listen to it. I'm like, this doesn't match up.
Yeah. I think it's just a culture difference. Yeah. Or like, I mean, a personal internal culture, not like, you know?
Yeah, like sense of self kind of thing.
Yeah, like it does. I don't identify with that. So it makes sense that I wouldn't, you know, I'm never like, oh, wow. But I don't want to like shit on country because.
Yeah, I mean, me neither.
Because like, yeah, because, yeah.
Anywho, we'll rewind now. So we kind of talked, I guess, about where you're at now. So you started EDM. So did you play instruments before you got into production?
Yeah, so my dad has been playing guitar since high school. And so there's always been guitars in my house, and I started playing guitar around probably 13. Obviously I wasn't very good at 13, but it's at the point, I started playing more, once, you know, my musical tastes started to develop. That's when I started getting like metal and rock and that kind of stuff. So yeah, I think I played a lot of like electric guitar, not so much acoustic. Like my technique is still pretty good, but my like chords or stuff like that isn't. But because I'd learn a Disturbed song and play along to it, mm-hmm. and I always thought that was super fun. But I've never been super interested in like, okay, well, how do I play like a G major seventh, like that kind of thing, you know?
Right.
But yeah, so once I hit 16 and I got Ableton, like OG Ableton. That's when I started switching over to more production, just because it was like, it blew my mind that you could do it all in the computer. I was like, what? I can make a whole song?
Without anybody else around?
Exactly. I love to be by myself, man. Damn. I can do this all by myself. I don't need a band. I don't need people being like, well, dude, check this out. I'm like, fuck, okay.
I don't like that. Yeah. Because well, you're also super non-confrontational.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
I can be a little bit more of an asshole than you can. Yeah, yeah. So I'm like, no, this is what I want. When we first started working together, I had to be like, dude, you have to, like, if you don't like something I do, you have to shut it down. Yeah. And at first you're like, okay, well, maybe not.
Yeah.
I'm not, like, I mean, if you want to keep it.
I'm like, bro, you could. If you're being yourself, then like,
every time I screw up a take, dude, just be yourself.
Be yourself, dude. As long as you're being yourself, that's cool.
Yeah. So that's actually, I didn't realize you've been doing Ableton that long though. Yeah. So did you gravitate to EDM after you got Ableton, or were you kind of into that stuff before you moved into production?
I think what happened was, okay, so I got Ableton at 16. Okay. So here's actually the funny story. There's a tab, the guitar tab program, called Guitar Pro or something.
Oh, is that the one where like you can plug in what song you're doing and it actually tabs it out and like plays it back to you?
No, it was more like actually I don't know what it was. It was like you could type in the note, like it would have a music score,
mm-hmm.
and you would put in notes and then
was that like Sibelius?
Nah.
It was same called, function though, if you plug in notes
and there was like a bank of like four different instruments or something. Like you could, it was like more about scoring kind of, I guess. But it was tab based. Cause I remember I don't read music. And if I barely, like I could go, it would take forever. But so I started producing with like a tabbing, program. Like it wasn't made for production.
Mm-hmm. It was just like arrangement.
Yeah. 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 So I was using, but then, so I switched to Ableton. Sorry. Back to your question. I started getting, people started showing me dubstep and stuff. You know, I like the energy in metal and I like the energy in dubstep, like hard. That was like, had like that dirty, like OG dubstep,
yeah,
like bro step, like Skrillex kind of stuff. And I was like, wow, I wish I could make that. Cause like it was trendy on one hand. And
it was super new. Like where the hell did this come from?
Like hearing, like, I don't know if you heard Bass Nectar at all, like Time Stretch.
Yeah.
That was old. But that, when I heard it, I was like, what? That's insane. And then my friend Martinez,
oh yeah,
Below, shout out to Below. He was like, dude, they use this program called Ableton. I was like, wow, I wish I could have Ableton. He's like, you can have Ableton. And I was like, what? And that's when I started getting into producing EDM. I think it was kind of like EDM was it center stage at that point in my life because it was new and I didn't know how to record. I didn't know, like, I didn't have a mic. All I had was my laptop and a pair of headphones and Ableton.
So it's kind of like almost, I don't want to say necessity, like you just said, it's the tools you had. So it's okay, what can I create with this?
Exactly. That's what actually 16 to probably 20 was me making electronic music. So that's the thing, is that the sound design and all that stuff in that dubstep is, it's hard, advanced stuff. So that's when I started, like, how do I make my synth sound bigger, or how do I make my, how do I make this growl bass the fucking wow, wobble, fucker down? Like, how do I make that? Because that's when I started learning about things like Massive and sound design, and, like, you know, they're not using the Ableton plugin, the built-in sounds there. You have to get third-party plugins. I guess starting, I was producing. I was making little songs that kind of were like, you know, they'd be like kick drum and you know, I'd arrange a song and produce it.
Dude, just scrap your EP now and do that.
Scrap an EP's trash.
Boop, 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 boop,
boop. That's the new single. Drop it right now.
That'll be the title of the single too. Drop it right now.
Yeah. So production, I guess that came first. And then the mixing and the sound design were mostly what I was working on. It's hard. It takes a lot of time, but I think that's where the obsession came in, where, like, I'm on and off. I didn't do it as much when I was in high school and college, but it was still like, I would binge it in college and high school. Right. I'd go 10 hours. Now I do it 4 hours daily. I don't know if I have my 10,000 hours or whatever in production, but I'm probably somewhere close. Just cause, like, I don't have a social life. I don't, like, it's kind of the only thing I really, really like doing. And it's been probably 7 years now.
Yeah, you're probably getting close. Especially if you include all the binges. So you mentioned you didn't do it much in college, but then you did end up getting a certificate from Berkeley.
Oh, yeah.
So when did you decide to do music, like production?
Yeah. Actually, what happened was because I started when I was at UW for a few years. And that's when, like, I was drinking way too much. And I started drinking in high school, and I had, like, bouts of where I'd be like, okay, I got to stop. And I'd go like 3 months and then relapse. And then, like, I'd just come back to it. And so 2 years into UW, there was, like, a night where I just, you know, I blacked out again and woke up and I said, guys, I have to leave. I can't keep doing this, 'cause I know where it's headed. So basically, I dropped out. I took a semester off. I called my parents. I was like, you have to pick me up today, 'cause, like, I'm just going to keep doing this. I can already tell. Like, it was so obvious. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess it's obvious now. In the moment, I'm like, well, maybe, you know, like, that's the battle, the, like, kind of like the addict thing going. But so I left UW, came home, and I was like, I don't know what the fuck I'm going to do. Like, I do like music. And then my dad was like, well, are you going to go back to UW? I was like, I don't want to go back. And he's like, all right, well, you need to either, like, get a job or maybe do some, like, schooling for music or something. You need to be doing something. And I was like, all right, well, I'll do Berkeley. And, like, so I did it online. And I was like, can I do that? And he's like, yeah, that works. So, like,
it's Berkeley.
Like, yeah. And for me, like, that, just doing Berkeley was, like, kind of like a dope ride, because I was like, oh, sweet. Like, I don't have to go to classes, and I don't have to go to, a job 8 hours a day, because Berkeley online, it was like, what, a couple hours a week. And then also I was focusing on, like, recovery. So basically, like, I'd go to AA meetings and go to, like, play video games and do Berkeley. That was it. Like, I didn't do shit. I didn't hang out with anyone. I didn't, like, basically I was just that in that phase, I was focusing on recovery. But the music was still always, it's always been there.
Yeah.
And that's when, now looking back, that's kind of when I shifted. That's when I said, okay, music is going to be my thing, which probably wouldn't have happened if I wasn't, like, drinking too much. I would have stayed at UW. I would have gotten a job that I don't like. I would have been like, yeah, I do music sometimes, you know. So
what we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the guys like that are like, yeah, fuck around, I dabble. But, like, so I'm actually, like, glad that I had to leave. Like, it was like an ultimatum, basically, which a lot of people don't get. A lot of people can just kind of be like, well, like, I guess I could get a job. And like, there's nothing, nothing in life is going to say, you got to make a decision right now, live or die, you know?
Yeah.
Which in the moment is kind of hard for a 19-year-old, but like, looking back on it, I'm like, oh, fuck, I'm so glad that happened.
Right.
I wouldn't be here
right
now.
Scary, too.
Yeah.
When you go off to school, and I can't obviously speak to your experience, when you're off doing your thing, there's almost like no reins.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Or correct me if I'm wrong, but no one was like, hey, tomorrow or today, it's your choice. You kind of like impose that.
Yeah. Like, people would be like, dude, like, maybe ease up tonight. And definitely, like, people from high school know. Like, people who saw, like, the dark, dark shit, like, they know that I needed to stop. And I was trying. But I wasn't, like, I wouldn't go to AA meetings at the beginning. And I was like, I can do it. Like, you know, like, but that happens. But yeah, at the end of it, the people who didn't see it all were like, oh, dude, why are you leaving, man? You know, when I was like, I have to do this. I guess it is a tough decision, but it was always eating at me. Like, I knew. I'm like, I have to, like, fucking do this. It was like, let's see, what's it like? What's your favorite thing to do?
Oh, man, that's a tough question.
Dude,
because I feel like it would be music. I like going to the movies.
Yeah.
I eat a lot of chocolate.
Yeah, if someone was like, dude, you got to stop eating chocolate, you'd be like, fuck, dude. Like,
I don't know, man.
I love shit. Yeah, you're like, damn, chocolate's my shit. Like, let's pretend you're super into chocolate.
I mean, I don't know if you have to pretend. I'm like super into it. Like, I downed like a bag of those like bites things. I don't know what they're called.
But yeah. But if they're like, okay, you have to stop eating chocolate, but you kind of get to decide when to do it, then you'd be like, fuck, I can do one more night of chocolate.
Yeah.
I can have one more night of chocolate. And then it turns into that you're like, fuck, it's been a week, dude. I haven't any chocolate. I'm going to do one more night and then I'll be good. You know, it's weird, dude. It's like, it's a battle that you know you're losing.
Yeah.
But you push it down. It's the denial thing is fat.
So when you left, and had you started writing lyrics to your songs at this point, or was it still, did that factor into you wanting to write lyrics and get that out there and have that release? Or when did that come? Or did that ever intersect?
I started writing lyrics probably a year and a half ago.
Oh, I didn't realize it was that recent.
Yeah, because, well, that's what people kept telling me. When I left college, my music wasn't good. I mean, it was fine, but I wasn't where I'm at now. And
totally.
The only reason, like, this is what I'm saying is, if someone was like, damn, you need to leave college and do music, that probably wouldn't have happened, you know, because I was still making EDM that didn't sound good, and I was still learning to mix, and I was still learning to master, so I'd ruin a track on the mix, I'd ruin a track on the master, you know, I'm like, so basically I was putting out garbage. Always, my whole musical career has been like, dude, you should, like, put your voice on this, and I'm like, fucking damn it, because I've always been super afraid of singing. Even though everyone, my parents are always like, your voice is so good. You know, my mom thinks I'm hella cool. Right? But
she said she'll buy it.
Yeah, dude.
She'll be at every show.
Yeah, dude. It's like, I don't know. Like, it's weirdly like intimate to me. And I don't know. I still am not amped about being like telling my parents to come to a show. I don't want them to go at this point.
Right.
So what I did, I got a mic and I was like, all right, what would I listen to? You know, like, if I'm going to write lyrics, what would I do? And that's when I started. Actually, yeah, the EP I have out now, which is going to be deleted because it's average. But, it was inspired by, like, do you know James Young? Do you know an artist named James Young?
I recognize the name.
So but... James Young, John Bellion. That's when
I know John Bellion.
Yeah, like getting into electro pop. Because I still listen to, like, metal and all that stuff. That actually didn't come. I was like, okay, maybe I'll do electro pop, you know, make this kind of like hip hop vibe. I guess I still kind of do that. But recently when I have access, you know, I plug in the guitars and that's when I'm like, well, fuck, dude, why don't I yell into this mic and get a sweet distorted guitar sound? I can get that energy. So what this year, basically two years has been me trying to learn how to sing. I'd say today was a good, we did that video today.
It was awesome.
That's the first time where I felt like comfortable singing.
Right.
Like, there were definitely times where I was like, had to like be like, all right, Aaron, chill the fuck out, bro. But like my first recording, I would be like, and I'd be like, okay, I think that went pretty well. And I'd listen to it and I'd be like, fuck. It was almost like my production was like 4 or 5 years in, mm-hmm. and my singing was like square one.
Right.
And I was like, this is going to take a long fucking time.
Dude, but that's the thing is, even just like, because you kind of redid some of your EP.
Oh, yeah.
And like that, like it was only a couple months apart and it was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Because I told you, like Waiting for Heaven, which we'll play at the end of this episode,
yeah.
was like, you showed me the new remastered, but it was resung, remixed. And yeah. I was like, whoa. Like yeah, it's yeah. the same song.
Yeah.
But like the performance there, I was like singing it in this cold that I have, I'm blaming yeah. on you because I was trying to sing that song just at my apartment
yeah.
while dying.
Yeah.
But, I think, super cool.
Yeah. Actually, what really helped me was I did an internship. Okay. When I wrote Emphatic Stillness and Waiting for Heaven, I knew something was going like good on Waiting for Heaven because that was the first time I was at my apartment. That was the first time I ever got a yell sing out.
Oh yeah.
Recording that and I was like, "Oh my
god. I did it.
I fucking did it for the first time." Like it's always been like me being like, yeah, I'm singing." You know? And then finally I was like, "Fuck it, I'm just going to do it." And I uh-huh. now I'm like, "Oh, I can do it. It's something I unlocked, achievement unlocked."
gritty vocals unlocked.
Unlocked. Congratulations.
Impaired all level 5.
Yeah.
Next skill level 10.
Yeah. Seriously though. And so I wrote Emphatic Stillness probably a year and a half ago and, Waiting for Heaven, that was like 6 months ago. And so what happened was I wrote those and I was like, damn dude, I'm the shit. I'm hella good. And I took my EP into my internship at a studio I had, and the owner, I fucking love this dude. He's a great guy. Every time I walk in, he goes, "Hey dude, fuck you." And he flipped me off and I was like, this dude's great. I fucking love this guy. And I showed him my stuff. I was like, "Can you listen?" He's like, "Song sounds pretty good. The mix is not good." And like in that moment, I was like, "Oh god,
no!"
Like everything, I suck. And then I knew, you know how people usually are like, "Dude, you sound great, man. You're doing good. Sounds mm-hmm. good."
I hate that.
Yeah, like he was like, "It doesn't sound good," and that was a big jumping off point.
Yeah.
For me to improve my mixing, and that's like in this 6 months I've improved miles in my mixing and my mastering and all that stuff, and that's why I remade the songs. And actually what I think happened was the song in Waiting for Heaven, when I showed you the remix, that was my intent from the beginning. When you go, "Oh shit dude, this is dope," that was my intent, not writing dope music, but like that emotion and the mm-hmm. the mix that the whole experience provides you. That's what I was going for from the beginning. And I was looking through a lens of my own psyche when I listened to it, the old one, you know? So I was like, "I did it," you know?
Yeah. It's done. The song is
yeah,
there.
Yeah. So now
it was a good song.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But now it's at a point where people will experience what I wanted to put into that song, which mm-hmm. I'm fucking amped for actually, yeah. because I actually haven't, I always do this. I'm like, "Oh shit, no one likes my music." But I'm like, "Wait, I haven't released music in a year."
So no one likes these songs. Wait, no one's heard these songs.
Yeah. So I'm pretty pumped to just kind of see how people react and hopefully get a little farther in the game than I did with my old stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I think you will. Like, it's one of those where I can honestly say with friends, like, I love supporting my friends and whatnot, but very few have I heard a song. It's basically like you and Art have like heard songs that yeah. like. And when I say like this, I mean like people that I've known for a while
yeah.
that are doing music like a couple of years, not just in the past. I've met a lot of talented people in the past couple months, but like yeah. I'm not like, "Oh, that's my longtime friend." But
yeah,
like
yeah.
you and Art are like the two that I've actually heard stuff. I'm like, "Whoa, like that yeah. is something."
Oh, I appreciate that, man.
Yeah. Well, because it's something too, is a lot of people don't have access or the skills to make the song that they want.
That's,
like
yeah,
it can be
fair.
A really good song. Like someone will play it. I'm like, "Ooh, that's a really good song." And then yeah, they record yeah. it. And I'm like, "I don't know. Maybe it's not like it's still yeah. a good song, but like, I don't know what's missing." And like, yeah, when you remixed it,
yeah,
that's was the moment where I was like, "Oh, this, what you just said, like
yeah,
this
yeah.
was what you were going for." Like,
yeah,
and it feels good when you get that. 'Cause that's why I did the same thing that you're talking about. You're taking down your first EP. I took down our first record because it was like the songs were good. Like I like them, but they don't sound good.
Oh yeah, yeah. You know, no, I feel it. They're not like where you want them to be.
Yeah, and it's hard to explain that to people that aren't musical to convey that the song was fine.
Yeah,
but this isn't.
Dude, there's so many like elements that go into it, the production and like, or I mean that's one facet of it, but like conveying the emotion that's wanted is, it's so hard to do because like if you think about like what's a big way like when orchestras perform like dynamics and that sort of stuff, like they go from like one violin to a whole room of violins playing and the whole thing, like you can't, like modern music is one volume pretty much.
It's yeah.
From start to finish.
Just packed. Like those waveforms are just.
Yeah. There's just sausages. Dude.
Yeah. Actually, that's perfect. For those of you, I was trying to mimic some sort of thing, but
a block, just a block. But it's like, how do you convey the emotion and the energy that you want in there? You know, that's where I think a cool like electronic and rock and all those things have a lot in common, I think, because it's always been like for me producing them and creating them, it's always been, how do I get the energy? How do you capture that when you have no control over volume? You basically just have, and you know when they always say like, oh, it sounds thick. Like it sounds like there's these weird abstract words. I'm like, how the fuck do I make this thick, dude? Like, and a lot of that's like layering and like things you don't hear, you know?
Well, yeah, I didn't even know about that until recently, probably like the last year or two of guitars. Like people were playing the exact same note for note guitar.
Yeah.
But one was just with the like on a Gibson, like only playing with the top pickup.
Yeah.
And then playing another one with just the bottom pickup. And then another rendition with all pickups active.
Yeah, dude. It's
and it sounds like one rhythm guitar. But it's like, nope, they actually have three or four guitars going. Yeah. And that's not even the lead.
That's what I, when you sent me your Christmas song, that's what I liked with, because there was three, they got three or four guitar tracks.
I think so, yeah.
And I was like, okay, dude, dope. Like, I don't have to worry about, like, how am I, like, I don't have to overdo the compression or overdo the distortion, all that stuff. Like, it's going to have the energy. And with that, like, you can just take these multiple takes and kind of just, like, EQ them and just smash them together until it sounds big and sounds fat, dude. Like, yeah, dude, it's so hard to do, though. And getting it sound clean, too.
Yeah, and that's tough because, especially if you don't have a lot of stuff or if you don't know. That was the thing. I just didn't know. So I was like, okay, this is the rhythm guitar. And then this is the lead guitar. Cool.
Yeah.
And then the issue is I get the final product. I'm like, it sounds so thin. What? And
yeah.
It's like, oh, because the real way to go about it was to record that rhythm guitar 3-4 times in 3-4 different ways.
Yeah, yeah.
And then record the lead on top of it with a ton of gain.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that like levels and all that stuff. It's actually funny. Waiting for Heaven's Chorus has probably like 4 or 5 vocal layers and you only hear one voice. Like it's one voice.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
I did that at the end of the song.
Yeah.
Even in the first
all of
chorus.
Them, yeah. It's like, I have the lead vocal of me singing it.
Right.
And then I have a modded like octave up, a modded octave down, a heavily distorted, like fucked up version of the vocal that is like gritty. And, the harmonies, the two harmonies. And so there's 6 layers that you only hear one.
I didn't know that there was.
Yeah, it's weird. Like that's how you have to like get that energy and stuff. So yeah, that's a lot of things people don't hear. And that's like that's part of the battle is figuring out how to get it like to sound like that. Like the modern production is bananas.
And it's interesting too because there are some songs that are hits now that did the opposite of like Here by Alicia Cara. What was the Selena Gomez one? I think I talked about it with Lena that Justin Tranter and Julia Michaels wrote. Oh, Same Old Love. And it's super like stripped.
Yeah.
And part of it is that's why it stood out in the radio was not trying to win the loudness war, but actually like very strategically pulling things back.
Yeah. Actually, I think that comes from like improved musicians. You know what they say, like when like your stuff gets super complex until you get good enough and then it becomes super simple.
Yeah, yeah, where you actually just do the right parts instead yeah. of throwing in a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Which like is hard to do.
Yeah. I've no well, I think like what if you think about like Havana and
oh, I love that song so much.
Rules. What's that? I
got oh, no yeah, by Dua Lipa.
Yeah. I like these no rules, these kind of like no. main like big pop songs now are actually pretty stripped down. It's mostly like it's heavy on drums and heavy on leads, vocal leads, and then the instrumentation is pretty minimal. Which honestly, I'm kind of missing the big choruses and stuff.
I think it'll go in waves.
Yeah,
because things are moving towards like an urban, like production style.
Yeah,
it's interesting because Bebe Rexha was doing an interview, and it was because of that kind of stuff. She was like, the label is trying to push a lot of these artists to do this more urban,
stripped, yeah,
and stripped down musical style. So I'm gonna go do the opposite.
Yeah,
and then
yeah,
she
yeah.
had like Meant to Be with Florida Georgia Line. Yeah. And that took a while to go up to number one.
Yo, that did. I know. I just started hearing it on the radio.
Yeah, it came out like November.
Yeah, like it's been like that. A minute.
Yeah, it's been like almost 6 months since it came out. Yeah. And I remember showing people and they're like, oh yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
And now some people like messaging me like, hey, you listen to And the Writer Is, right? Like, did you see yeah. that this song? Like, it's Bebe Rexha and it's big. I'm like, yeah, yeah. I mean, like, I'm happy for like it's yeah. dope. But like, it's weird how long some of these songs take. Cause some just jump up. Like if it's Taylor Swift
instant.
Or Drake
yeah,
or whoever, it's boom up to number one.
Yeah,
stays there. And then there's like, I'm like, why did that song take so long? That slow build kind of confuses me. Like I get like marketing power
yeah.
in like a go to market campaign, but 5 months for a single song to climb the charts.
Yeah, I don't know how any of that works.
Cause they were doing the late night shows, all that stuff. But
yeah,
they haven't been recently because they did it already. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you don't go back to Jimmy Fallon again yeah. and go sing the same song.
Do people like, I guess like, cause that's the, it goes up. Is the iTunes charts based on purchases?
Yeah.
Okay. So I don't know. I guess people just.
Cause that's where it went up first. It was like streaming. It was doing well. And yeah. then when they started doing the late night shows, it started climbing the iTunes charts and the radio play was slightly falling. So it was interesting cause the radio uh-huh. play has been slightly lagging behind the sales, which I feel like is normally the opposite.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
But then it started climbing the iTunes charts, and it broke top 10 on iTunes before it broke top 10 on Billboard, like radio. Yeah, yeah,
okay,
yeah. No, that's
yeah.
right. On like the Hot 100 charts.
Yeah.
So now it's like, I think a top 10. It broke yeah, like a bunch of country records because initially it went to country stations, but then they did both formats.
Yeah.
Which is kind of interesting now. Tying it back to like your music, you've got like different genres in there, and I feel
yeah.
like pop, whatever that is, we talk about what does pop mean
yeah.
a bunch, but like the pop format is almost spreading out into more genres than other genres are.
Yeah.
Like that's a country song.
Yeah.
And it's doing well on pop charts. And you've got Havana, which is like a very like
it's kind of Latin-y.
Yeah, it's like Latin swing
yeah.
vibe to it that obviously dominated pop charts.
Yeah.
But then you look at like, what is country doing? What is rock doing? And they're kind of staying in their lanes.
Yeah.
With the exception of like this song, some country artists are definitely moving towards the pop format.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I feel like your music, like you were talking about, does that. You have like this huge, awesome production, but there's also like rock elements.
Yeah.
EDM elements, like, or I guess I should say electronic elements.
I would say, yeah, I would say Happy Sad Codes. Doesn't have a name yet. Happy Sad Codes is like pretty fucking, it's like Seven Lines inspired, which is mega electronic, like EDM.
Mm-hmm. I remember you showing me that.
Yeah, because that, well, that's the weird thing is I'm having trouble like someone asks me what kind of music do you make, and I say pop because to me that's a structure that works well. Like that, you know, like so many things are pop. Like even like when I say I'm like Disturbed is pop because it's like, but I think people.
But then
think
hear
of,
his
like,
voice and him wailing, and they're like, that's yeah, not pop. But
yeah, but it's like this to me, it's more is a structure. Then like,
yeah, it's like an intro, verse, pre-chorus, chorus,
yeah.
verse, pre-chorus, and
to,
chorus.
Yeah, to me, like that's a good music. It's like
yeah, but like proper writing.
Yeah, like it just is like a format, and like, but I think people when I say I make pop music, they think of like, and I, especially when I say
baby,
yeah, when I say I make electro pop, people think of like those dudes in the triangle glasses with synthesizers. We are from the internet. Like some shit like that. I don't know. I'm like, I make electropop. And they're like, oh, okay. And I'm like, it's like Halsey. You know, like Halsey's yeah. electropop. John Bellion's electropop. All these guys are, but then I kind of like, I guess I have the guitars in there too.
Yeah, it was like rock elements. Like, because Waiting for Heaven has like the big guitars.
Yeah, like that is 100% inspired from all the rock songs that I listen to, where it goes, it's quiet and it's chill, and then the chorus is just like big. Yeah. So I don't know, dude. I don't know. Like, I have trouble like figuring out what genre I am, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I say, because it's interesting you bring up Halsey, because Halsey is like adamant that she's alternative and that she's not pop. Yeah, I know, you just like froze.
Legit, when I say electropop, that's Halsey jumps into my head. That's fucking pop, dude.
I would agree with you. She was talking about how it's more of like a that she worked so hard to get her alternative scene, like her records went platinum before she was ever on like a Chainsmokers record.
Okay, that's fair.
And so she was like, I built myself as like an alternative artist, and she's like off kilter. So I get that. She's not like, when I think like cookie cutter pop.
Oh yeah,
she's
not cookie cutter. I wouldn't say she's cookie cutter.
Yes, but I think because of kind of what you're saying, like she definitely follows the format, like a pop format. It was interesting because she's like, I do things differently.
Yeah.
So I am not pop. But it's funny because you listen to music, oh, this is like pop, I guess.
Did you listen to Badlands? That's her like...
I love that record. I didn't literally until like a month and a half ago.
Badlands
and I listened
really
to it.
Fucking good.
Yeah, I listened to it front to back and I was like, oh, because I saw she was featured on a bunch of stuff and I saw some interviews and I was like, oh, she seems really cool, like really educated.
Yeah.
At least on music and business. And then I was like, okay, I want to check out this Badlands record that she keeps talking about. And I was like, whoa, this is
intense. Yeah, no, it's really intense. Good. Because that's where I saw, it was one of those like it was before she was on the Chainsmokers. I saw like a little side banner for her that was like, Halsey, Badlands. And there was a song on Badlands that was like pretty popular on Spotify. I don't remember which one it was, but I would ask people like, oh, do you know Halsey? And some of them would be like, no, I don't know who the fuck that is. And the other half would be like, oh yeah, like I know Halsey. Like where I think she was like medium at that point. Like, and there's a few songs on Badlands, like Ghost.
That's super good song.
I fucking love that song. That's super good. And so like, yeah, I wouldn't say she's, I wouldn't be like, if I was her, if I was Halsey, I wouldn't be like offended by people. Like to me, that Badlands is pop.
Oh, I agree. 100%.
I think alternative is like Blue October and stuff.
Yeah. You know? I always think of like alternative, and I'm going to say this wrong, but it's like when rock bands tried to go like mainstream is how I felt like, when they tried to meld pop and rock.
Yeah.
Like if you're like, oh, it's a pop rock band, I'm like, okay, so it's an alternative band.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of in my mind. I know that's not right, but
to me, alternative is like
immediately. I think like All American Rejects.
Oh, really? Is that what you think of when you? Okay.
What would you consider?
Think of Death Cab.
Yeah, they're super. Yeah, I'd consider them alternative.
I think of like kind of like quirky vocals and acoustic riffs.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I would 100% agree with you.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, All American Rejects is what pops in my head.
I feel it.
They're rock. Are they?
I don't know. Oh, fuck.
Early stuff, maybe. Because they did the same thing as like Fall Out Boy was like started off like screamo weird and then moved to the pop format.
Yeah. I don't know. I think everyone has a different perception of genre, too.
Yeah, genre is a weird thing.
It is so fucking weird, dude. And it's if you talk to like a music connoisseur... it's going to be like different than if you're like, someone's like, dude, I like rock music. And then the connoisseur will be like, well, do you like dark metal or like black metal?
Do you like 1960s Norwegian you know? Death I'm metal? Like,
I don't fucking know, dude. Yeah. I like the ones with the guitar.
That always, like, I see the purpose of subgenre, but for like when someone's like, I'm blues rock, not just like,
yeah,
rock,
yeah.
I'm like, okay, I get that. But then when people get super deep into the subgenre, especially with like hardcore metal stuff.
Yeah, those are always fucking bananas. Or what was, do you listen to Bring Me the Horizon at all?
I have listened. I'm not a huge fan, but I've listened to them.
Because they're like, I remember when I was like in middle school, as a joke, we all would listen to this song called Diamonds Aren't Forever by Bring Me the Horizon, which was just straight up screaming. It was just, we will never sleep. It was like a chant. And we'd be like, dude, this is my favorite song. And now I'm a big fan of Bring Me the Horizon because they're this like mainstream, like electronic rock kind of. They're definitely huge.
Do they move that way?
Yeah, dude, their pop structure is fucking bananas. What? It's super good. I love it.
I didn't realize that they moved that way.
It's a similar, I mean, it's Disturbed. Obviously, the timbres and everything are different. It's more punky, like, or not, it's more like,
yeah,
than Disturbed, who's like, yeah. Disturbed is like, yeah. But like, it's similar. It's more structured like that. And then they have a lot of like electronic elements, like glitch vocals in some of them that are like super, like screaming glitch vocals. I don't know. I really like
them. It's blowing my mind that they went, because to me they were always like what you were just doing, like screamy,
aggressive screamo.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't picture them any different. So.
It's, I really like it now. Their new album, or I guess it's not really new anymore, but That's the Spirit. You should check it out. I really like some of the stuff.
I'll have to put it on the Spotify playlist with you. It's gonna be you, Halsey, and Bring Me the Horizon.
Yeah, dude.
And John Bellion.
Dude, yep, that's the man. John Bellion's a fucking genius.
I remember you showed me that video where he was like putting a beat together.
It's bananas.
In
makes me feel bad about myself. Through. Yeah. Or like, oh yeah, because John Bellion was in Zed's track, Beautiful Now. We're beautiful,
When he was singing, or he produced it?
He was singing.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and see, that's what people were like. Now John Bellion's pretty like popular. But in the past, I used to be like, you know John Bellion? I'd be like, nah. Be like, oh, he was in Beautiful Now by Zed. They'd be like, oh, okay, cool. Now people know All Time Low, you know?
He was in All Time Low?
No. Oh, sorry, not the band.
Oh,
the
I was like, yeah. I thought you were like, and now people know the band All Time Low. I'm like, what?
Yeah, fuck no.
Okay, yeah.
He wrote a song called All Time Low. I mean, he's blown up. He's doing great. He helped write Monster by Rihanna and Eminem.
Oh, that would have been Bebe Rexha too.
Yeah, Bebe Rexha. Also, Bebe Rexha in The Name of Love.
That's a dope
that song,
song
is incredible. I think that to me is like the peak of recent, like, mainstream EDM. Now it's kind of like, meh.
That she had that, and then Me, Myself, and I.
I don't know if I know that one.
I think that's the one with G-Eazy. So it started off. Apparently, she had it. The whole song was hers, and then he heard it. It's like, I really want that hook.
Yeah.
And they went back and forth, and finally, she gave it up. And
okay.
And she said she like regrets it. Kind of, damn, but it blew up. It was a huge hit. So like
for the G-Eazy one or the
Me, Myself, and I.
Yeah,
but it's real good.
Damn.
But yeah, she sings incredible hooks. It was interesting because she was, I think it was when she was on And the Writer Is, was talking about she grew up a trumpet player.
Really?
So that's where her sense of melody comes up, because for years she was playing that and she can come with these phenomenal melodies because she can do the scales and like she thinks of it like a trumpet because a trumpet's a lead.
Yeah.
And that's where she comes up with these crazy things like a monster. The
She's like,
that's a trumpet.
Yeah. Damn.
Which is pretty crazy.
That's interesting.
And when she said that, I've actually started when doing melodies, like pretending to play trumpet to stuff.
Damn.
Yeah. It works.
Dude, I guess that's the one thing I've been missing this whole time.
Dude, scrap the EP.
Go
play trumpet to your record.
Just by myself in a room with no trumpet.
With no trumpet. Someone will walk in and be like, what the fuck
are you doing? Just be myself, bro.
Just be yourself.
Throwback.
Cool, man. So you got some stuff coming up.
Yeah.
Got the EP about to drop.
We got distracted by other things.
Yeah.
That's okay.
We did.
But yeah,
it's still good.
I feel like I've been talking at you a lot.
No, that's perfect. That's what I'm not supposed to be talking. Sometimes I talk too much and that's not how it should be. It should be focused on the guest.
Word.
But so when you were writing this record, we'll snip back to the EP.
Yeah.
It's going to be four tracks.
Four tracks. Yep.
So, and we just shot a dope video with Rain City Collective.
Oh, I'm super amped about that.
I'm super amped about it too. So shout out to Tony Hammonds. That was awesome.
Hey, Tony, you're a good guy.
what do you see going on with it? I know you were like, you want to get further in music than you did with your past EP. What is like ideal for you with it? Is it like people are listening to it? Is it you're playing live shows? Like what is it you want to do?
No, it's actually interesting that like the way I am as a someone interested in music, I would say like, honestly, live shows are not number one on my list and kind of feel more like a necessary evil than me clamoring to do it. You know, there's...
It's like the reverse of the Beatles, yeah, where the Beatles stopped touring and yeah, only recorded.
Yeah.
It's like your ideal world.
Yeah, exactly. I think there's... The ideal would be someone paying me to just make music, but like, I think that would be more like if I did it, if I had like a Patreon with a few followers that supported me like that, that would be, to me, that's more realistic than me being like, dude, I'm gonna be a super big pop star and like, I'm just be mega famous, which part of me like, yeah, I mean, I'd be down. I mean, I'm a person, I like attention, but, but, I think, honestly, the live performance is definitely the next step. And I think it's a good, I've learned so much even from the small amount of time that like we've been playing together and like I've been taking vocal lessons. It's been super helpful. And also the reason I think that I always like, I don't look forward to it, but I'm kind of in the mindset that if it's scary, it's probably something I need to do. Yeah. That's usually how I live my life.
That's a good outlook.
Except I don't go out on weekends and I just stay in my house. But but with big things, like if I'm like, okay, clearly I'm afraid of live performance, so that's my next step. And honestly, like even from, like I said, even the short time we've been doing stuff together, I've already learned so much and I've already grown so much as a performer, as like singer. And now taking it to the stage, like, yeah, I'm scared, but like, I think it'll be good. And I think ideally if I had a full band and like if I could have complete no budget control, like control of my performance, I think that would be some pretty crazy to watch, cuz the like the size it could be, you know, the like imagine Waiting for Heaven with like a full band and like some electronic stuff, like a DJ and like harmony vocal people, fucking like that would be bananas.
Yeah. That song is like, when I listen to it, I like, you were just saying, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, you're all good.
But like, it's like an arena song.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. That's kind of what I imagine. Like that would be crazy to just have it, the whole shebang. But on the other hand, I really like how it is. We're doing the opposite where everything's acoustic. Mm-hmm. I think it translates well.
It does. Well, and that's because it's raw and like real. Like you write good melodies, good lyrics, with a good song structure. So a song that's well written is easy to translate, I feel like.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because it wasn't, let's throw 1.5 million parts into it so that the song can support itself.
Yeah.
It's like if you break it down to just the chord progression, the lyrics, and the melody, like you have a really good song.
Oh, thanks, dude.
Yeah, man.
I'm glad. This is the first time.
Yeah, well, no, but it was fun. And like we were playing it earlier, and even when we just like rehearse it, it's like going super well. And I know you said it's like scary. Like, and I remember when I first started playing, I was like, I don't want to do live. But that was like my favorite thing.
Oh,
but
really? Yeah.
Yeah. And it's one of my favorite things to, I shouldn't say favorite things because it's not happening yet. But like the thing that's really cool with us, like working on stuff, is getting to see the songs come together and like get into it.
Yeah.
Because when we first started playing, like when we were with like Lucian and whatnot, some of it was like, and part of it was because like I wasn't that good at the songs, but it was kind of like, oh, yep, well, do we speed it up? And we had the metronome. We're like, do we go to 95 beats per minute or 97 or 100? And now we can just like sit down and like play it.
I think I'm glad actually that this video shoot happened when it did, because even 2 months ago, I was like, I could barely get through the track. You know what I'm saying? Like you would, even the early Lucian, like I was like, basically like the vocal mechanisms weren't lining up because I was doing it wrong for so long and I was not doing it for so long. So I'm actually glad this happened when it did, because today I'm like, it used to be, I would sing a song and be like, you know what? I think that sounded okay. And I'd look back and I'd be like, oh my God, that was horrible. Now it's flipped, where I'm like, damn it, I messed up that one spot or I messed up this there. And then I'll listen to it and I'll be like, oh, that actually sounds okay.
Yeah.
So I would feel so bad if Tony came out and shot me this amazing fucking video and I was just garbage. I'd be a big letdown, dude.
He just messaged you, hey, man.
He's like, dude, I don't know.
We're going to have to scrap the project.
He's like, I'm going to send you the audio files. If you could just hit delete on those, that would be great.
I'm gonna export the video into import it into Ableton, sing to the video.
Yeah, damn.
Man, I'm excited. Getting the video out and your EP to drop. I think big things are headed your way in the next year. So
thank you, dude.
Excited to see you on stage too.
Awesome, so, dude.
Thank or maybe you. Be there with you. Who knows?
Oh yeah, you will be there.
Yeah. Cool. Right on, man. Well, thanks for doing this.
Dude, thanks for having me, man.
Yeah. I can't believe it took this long to do it. Maybe it's going to align a lot better with your
dude,
release.
Honestly, I mean, I think if you just had me as some dude, it wouldn't have been that great. So,
hey, this dude's producing my EP, but I haven't released mine yet, and he hasn't released his. So,
So here's a guy talking at you for a while. But yeah, thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, man.
I've never been interviewed before. I usually interview people or edit interviews. So this is...
Well, you do a dandy
nice.
Job editing interviews.
And thanks again for coming on here and just being like open and honest, man, and sharing your story. Excuse me. I'm really proud of you and all that you're doing and excited to see what's next.
Thank you, man.
Yeah, man.
Cool.
Maybe I'll have you just this once. I'll have you edit this one. Yeah. So you have to listen to yourself.
Yeah. Damn.
Cool. Right on, man. Well, big things. We'll have Waiting for Heaven coming up here, and I'll see you soon.
Peace.
That was Waiting for Heaven by Imperidol off his upcoming EP, the Waiting for Heaven EP, which drops this Friday, April 6th. So be sure to get a copy, let him know what you think, show him some love on social media, and come celebrate the release at the Skylark Cafe Friday, April 13th. He will be playing for the first time ever live with yours truly. and we hope to see you there. And if you want to listen to the artists that we've been discussing during these episodes, follow Made for Music on Spotify, as we're actually going to be putting together playlists comprised of the songs that we discuss on both the local and national level. And if you've enjoyed this episode, please go ahead and rate us on iTunes or whatever your preferred podcast listening site is. We really appreciate y'all helping us out there, and we will see you next time.